Hello and welcome. I am your host, Genevieve, and this is Your Zest Life. This is wild. I'm so happy that you are here, whoever you are listening to this right now. And thank you so much for stopping by. I hope you decide to stay for a long, long time because this is just the beginning of something I wanted to do for, well, many moons. And for whatever reason, it's finally happening. I believe timing is everything. And I just have to say, this feels so good to be in this spot, getting to create a space with you where we can explore how to find our personal zest for life together. All right, now full disclosure, I am by no means an expert. I have no certification on being a master zester, though what a cool training that would be to go through, right? But I think there's something really special about creating a space where we can say, hey, I don't have this all figured out, and honor our areas for opportunity and our happiness and our fulfillment. And while I'm no expert, I have to admit I have a lot of zest for life. And I believe it would be selfish to not share with you what I have learned in hopes that maybe it empowers your own self-exploration for your zest life. Because I believe our shared experiences are how we grow and evolve together. All right, is this getting too mushy for our initial acquaintance? I can promise you this will not be an hour of me reading you Hallmark cards and affirmations, though I am a huge believer in the power of affirmations. We'll get to that a bit later, though. Before that, I think one of the biggest things that holds us back from living our zest life is identifying where to start and finding the time to do so. I think that's why we find ourselves in life wondering, where has time gone? Why are we not truly fulfilled? And who knows, maybe you are someone who has already found the key to living your most fulfilling life. In which case, let's connect because I would love for you to share your story and tips on this podcast. I also want to ensure that my voice is not the only voice that you hear on this. But in my experience with coaching and training, I've learned that sometimes we find ourselves in spaces or seasons even of contentment and complacency. And this gets us into the same habits and routines and doesn't challenge or strengthen our confidence or even the mental muscle that enables us to try new things or tackle huge ideas and visions of who we want to be or things we want to do. So when I connect with someone, I connect because I can relate to them in some element or another. And because I simply enjoy being around them. They make me feel welcome, they make me feel confident in my own skin, and those who I've chosen to keep in my close inner circle inspire me on the regular. You know those friends who make you feel like you are truly limitless and can do whatever you want to do? I'm a believer that anything we can imagine is real. And the people who I surround myself with reiterate that for me. Those people in my inner circle are part of how Women as Community was created, why I was able to find the inner strength to leave my dream job in New York City to meditate on a hilltop in Bali and figure out what the heck I want in life. Okay, I'm getting way ahead of myself here. Before we get too far into my story, I want to say that I hope that by you finding this podcast, I can create that space for you too. Giving you weekly insight that may inspire your own ideas of how to live your zest life by your own rules. Because I can't give you the answers. It's your life after all. But I know it's the guidance, the foundation, and the belief that you have the freedom to do whatever you can imagine that has created the most empowering environments. And my hope is that this is what this space can be for you. Now, I can't remember where I heard this for the first time, but this saying is something that stuck with me ever since the first time I heard it. And it's a variety is the spice of life. Now this can be through the food we eat, the people we connect with, the adventures and trips we take, to the hobbies we explore, and everything in between. So each week, you can expect to get a little something different that is rooted in exploring our zest for life together. everything from health and wellness tips, interviews with individuals who will share their exploration for their zest life. And honestly, if you know me, I'm a little sporadic, and I've learned I do not like to be kept in a box. I'm a little wild, to say the least. So I'm looking forward to whatever other spontaneous conversations come from our exploration to finding our zest for life. All right, so let's not waste any more of our valuable time. Let's get started. So my name's Genevieve, and I am a health and wellness coach. I am also the dog mom to two adorable golden retrievers who I wish were here with me right now, but they're also part of the reason why I have a difficult time recording a podcast at home. I'm also the founder of Women S Community, which is a nonprofit that empowers women through mindfulness, movement, and community impact, as well as the founder of the Powerful Minds Project, which is a nonprofit for kids that is rooted in the foundation of mental health. So I do wear many hats, and I also love to travel and get outside, be in the environment. I don't know, I guess you could say I do not like to get bored. I feel like reason behind this is my mom growing up would always say, only boring people are bored, and I never wanted to be bored. So I was just very active when I was young, and that's something that I've carried with me as I've gotten older. I do feel like we're going to be really good friends, so I wanted to give you a little of an introduction of who I am, and that's how I'm going to choose to start this podcast, because I think oftentimes, again, we allow ourselves in trying to identify how to start and when to start and waiting for things to be the perfect timing, and this holds us back sometimes, so this feels like a good place for us to get started on. I was born in Spokane, Washington. If you're from Spokane, you know it's home of the Big Red Wagon Slide and the Gold Hoop Carousel, and I'm sure many other things, including when we lived there, my mom said there was a nudist beach behind our couch, or not our couch, our house, and Benny and June was filmed there. Have you ever seen that movie with Johnny Depp? It's a classic. It's fantastic. We moved from there when I was just a few years old, and moved to Chicago, where my sister was born, and decided shortly after that that my parents wanted to move to Boise, where I primarily grew up in. Something that many people do not know is that my parents chose to move to Boise by randomly choosing a spot on the map that my mom remembered she really loved biking through. I was on a bike ride actually with my dad this week. We're training for a gravel ride. It's 100 miles. I don't know what I got myself into, but it's a really good opportunity for me to spend time with my dad, and it also gets me outside. And he was telling me we rode up to Emmett. If you're not from the Boise area, Emmett is this really green town. It's small, it's home of the Cherry Festival, but it's grown tremendously. And so my mom was cycling across the Northwest. She biked through here, and she saw just how many green trees there were, and it was luscious, and there's the Cherry Festival. And so when they chose this place on a map, she said, Boise's so green, it's so luscious. And as they're driving in, all they're seeing is desert, and it's dry. And my dad's like, what are we doing? But that's where they chose. They actually met leading bike tours across the country. I was potty trained when I was 2 years old on a bike tour from Spokane, Washington to Mexico. All this I say because I think this explains part of why I love bikes and being outside, and why I think I'm able to adapt and really just find joy in the simplicity of life. It's enabled me to go with the flow and to be really open-minded with my surroundings. When we did get to Boise, we didn't have a whole lot financially. We actually lived in a tent when we first moved here because my parents didn't have jobs lined up, and we didn't have a house. But shortly after, my dad got a job with HP, and my mom worked for REI, which enabled her to be at home with me and my sister, so that when we left for school, my mom was there, and when we came home, she was there, oftentimes with homemade cookies or chocolate cake if it was someone's birthday, made completely from scratch. These are things that it took me growing up to really appreciate just all of my parents went through. I really admire them, and they've been a huge source of inspiration in my life, whether it's been from my values, how I treat people, even to the dreams that I have. I'm really grateful that I have them as role models. I also grew up playing soccer, doing piano. I was in choir. I was really actively involved in the community and in Girl Scouts. I actually earned my silver and gold award, and earned my gold award by doing self-esteem workshops for girls, which is part of why I created the Women's Community. These events really shaped who I was in my 20s. And I just remember that going through my childhood, especially now when I had a girls trip with my girlfriends this weekend and we were sharing some experiences of ours in high school. And I was the friend who was always afraid of getting caught doing anything and breaking the rules. I remember one time we were getting TP'd and I thought that I was being so badass because I went out and I was TP'ing the neighbor and we got caught by the cops. And I was like, oh, I finally have a story about getting caught by the cops. Like, I'm so bad for TPing at 11 o'clock at night. And I remember when I went to my first party, this goes to show you the kind of life I had in high school. But I'd just gotten back from a piano recital. I was in my cardigan and I was dating a guy who drove this really cool red BMW. And I was like, you are way too cool for me to be dating, but I'm just going to keep hanging on until you realize you're too cool for me. And he took me to my first party. And I remember I walked in and everyone hid their drinks. That's the kind of person I was. They're like, oh, Genevieve's here. You got to hide your drink. She's going to tell on us. And he's like, no, she's cool. She's cool. And I had one sip of, I think it was like a Four Loko, which I think those are now illegal. But anyways, that just goes to show I really played by the rules. And as I got older, when I say I'm wild, I mean like I'm outgoing. I'm the person where if you call me like tomorrow, you want to go camping, you want to go on a spontaneous trip, like I'm your person. I was also thinking back on this and my mom's never heard this story. So mom, if you're listening to this podcast, I probably should have told you this in person first, but that same guy, he encouraged me to cut class one time. I don't know if this falls in line with your zest for life, but man, it was a funny memory. And it was lunchtime. We'd cut class, I think, to go to like KFC and get some mashed potatoes. I know, wild. But my mom would always bike to work. And my high school was on the way to work. And we pull up to a stoplight. And I look over and my mom is on her bike riding past the car. I'm like, oh, shoot. And I'm ducking down the front seat. I mean, she's pulled up right next to the car. And to this day, I never told her because I was so disappointed. Like, she's going to be so disappointed. I'm cutting my class. Anyways, fast forward, my last year of high school, I was asked to participate in the Miss Idaho Outstanding Teen Pageant. Now, from what you know about me growing up, I was not involved in anything even relatively close to this. My mom was very much like a hippie mom. And my best friend's mom was in charge of this organization. And the way it works is you have to have a certain number of contestants to give out scholarship money. So she needed one more contestant so they could give out this scholarship money. And she said, you play piano, you can use your prom dress. So would you mind filling in? And I am someone who, like I said, I'm willing to say yes. I'm willing to try things that make me uncomfortable. So I said yes. And long story short, I actually ended up winning. I was so surprised that night. When they said my name, I was looking around like, oh my gosh, Genevieve, who's like, congratulations. I'm like, wait, I'm Genevieve. So I won and I went on to Miss America's Outstanding Teen in Orlando and had the best experience. I use this term very sparingly, but that opportunity was truly a life-altering experience. Once I competed at Miss America Outstanding Teen, I just had the best experience. And at the time, Miss America was the largest provider of scholarship for women in the world. They're rooted in service, style, scholarship, and success. So a lot of my values were in alignment with the Miss America organization. And as I continued to compete for the title of Miss Idaho, I believe I competed for about 6 years in the organization total. I got third runner-up my first year, I think first runner-up my second year, second runner-up my third year. But I'm someone who I'm really, when I commit to something, I'm fully invested. But that really challenged me. My third year, I decided I was done. You know, it's, if you are familiar with the Miss America pageant, you've got, it's a full-time job. And I was going to school full-time. I also had a part-time job. And you are working on your fitness. You have a talent. So I was playing piano, taking private piano lessons through the university. You have an interview. So you have to be up to date on your current events. And you have to be really in alignment with who you are and what you believe. And then you also have a platform. So my platform was Girl Scouts and building the three C's, courage, character, and confidence, where I facilitated self-esteem workshops for girls and moms. So it was a lot to do, especially when you think for, you know, that many years, that's your life. That's your 9 to 5, or rather you're like 6 to 10. But there was something just that last year where I remembered like why I started, and that being able to be Miss Idaho would allow me to travel the entire state to get to promote my platform and get to work with girls. Again, if you know me, and you'll hear this in future episodes, I'm really passionate about creating a space for our youth to feel confident in their own skin and to feel like they can take on the world and they can just be our future and our change agents. And I'm also really confident about mothers and daughters and their relationship. And so that was my driving force. And I would say that's still my driving force today. So I decided to compete one more year, and I'm so glad I did because I won the title of Miss Idaho. And it was incredible. I went to Miss America and I didn't win the title, but I did receive what to me was a true honor, but the 4 points award. So again, service, style, success, and scholarship, which was just such an honor. I'll talk, I think, more about this experience in future episodes because it really has. I mean, like I said, it was life-altering. It's really shaped who I am today. And it's also shaped some of the challenges I've had to really work through to be comfortable in my own skin and to really feel confident about how I'm moving forward in my life. But like I said, I want to save that for another episode. And at the end of the day, I wouldn't change anything about my experience. And I'm eternally grateful to have even had this opportunity to be a part of that community. So fast forward, after I gave up my title to the next Miss Idaho, I graduated from Boise State, go Broncos, in journalism, and I went on to move to New York. I never visited New York City. While we did travel a lot, usually we were camping, we weren't really in big cities, and I'd never met my roommate because I found her on Craigslist, and my mom told me afterwards that she was crossing her fingers that when I arrived, that was actually a real person and I wasn't being scammed. But I packed up my whole life. Like I said, when I commit to something, I invest myself 100%. I mean, to the point where I packed up notes from elementary school because I was convinced that this was where I was moving my life to. I was going to start my career here and potentially start a family here. And I started off with an internship on the editorial side with Women's Health Magazine and also working at the front desk of Equinox Gym. After my internship was up, they had no positions that were open with Women's Health Magazine. So this is where I really started to get into my health and fitness career. I got my personal training certification with my New York soulmate, Cece, who you will definitely hear at some point on this podcast. She's one of the most incredible women I know. I mean, absolutely incredible. And when I think zest for life, her face just pops into my head. She's one of the best humans you'll ever meet. The first time I met her, she was working front desk at Equinox, and she grew up in Nevada, went to school in Chicago in Champaign, and she was the head captain for their swim team. So I'm sure you can imagine with a personality like that, she's just a go-getter. She's your biggest cheerleader. And that day, I had lost my phone at one of the bars downtown the night before. It was a really rough morning. And she didn't know me, but she volunteered to go meet this random guy that had found my phone in the middle of Washington Square. And we started talking, and it ended up that she was actually from Boise originally. And her grandmother was a folk singer who I would listen to growing up with my mom. Grammy Award winner, just Rosalie Sorrell, if you know her from the Boise area. She's fantastic. But like I said, you'll hear more from her, but she's a really big part of why I got into what I did. And we got our personal training certification together, started training at Equinox, until a position to be the assistant to the publisher of Women's Health magazine popped up, and I went into an interview. I had no experience in advertising or marketing or sales, but the editor or the publisher for Women's Health magazine was from the South, and she was familiar with the Miss America organization. And she said that if I had the work ethic to compete at Miss America, then she was confident I would be able to pick up in this role and learn as I go. So I ended up getting the job as the assistant to the publisher for Women's Health magazine and the VP of Rodale Publishing. Man, and this, again, I think I'll talk about more on another podcast, but this was where I really found out what it was like to work in the corporate world. I was the first one to go in, the last one to leave. I was in on weekends. I had to really, competing in Miss America, I learned how to take criticism and feedback, but I had to really get tough skin in this role and prioritize my self-care and my own health. During this time, I also learned that I was not someone who could sit behind a desk all day. I have a hard time sitting still. It's amazing that I'm still seated right now during this podcast. And I also realized that, you know, part of my why for getting into editorial and wanting to work for Women's Health magazine, again, was I wanted to help women to feel comfortable in their own skin. I wanted them to help them feel strong and healthy and live their best life, or rather their zest life. And I started to learn in that industry that as a writer, I wasn't necessarily writing for the reader, that I was writing for the advertiser. And that was really difficult for me. So I eventually left my dream job, and I started to spiral with my health and my mindset, who I was, what I wanted to do. I started applying for any job that I could because New York is hella expensive. And when I say I started applying for any job I could find, I mean any job. There were some really weird ones and some that were pretty typical because, especially when you're living in New York, you know, there's lots of actors and musicians trying to make it big. So there's lots of modeling and waitressing and catering jobs. But get this, one of the jobs I did get, I worked at a monster truck rally where I wore this like triple XL orange shirt in the middle of summer, right? So Manhattan in summer, August, think it's like 90 degrees with 90% humidity minimum, and you're just sweltering. And I was selling popsicles. So the popsicles, like, you had to sell them in a certain amount of time or they melt on you. It, like, and I can handle stress. It was a very stressful job, believe it or not. I accidentally interviewed to be a female escort. That was horrifying. Trying to tell my dad about that was one of the most uncomfortable experiences. I did not get that job. I did not apply for it. I actually left and went to my roommate and I cried. But finally, my roommate was like, you know what? I used to work at Southern Hospitality, which is Justin Timberlake's restaurant. It's right in Times Square area. And she said, why don't we just get you a job there? But I had no waitressing experience. And she said, you know what? It's fine. Just make up a resume. So here I'd worked for Women's Health magazine. I trained at Equinox. I don't know why I didn't go back to personal training at that time. But so I made up a fake resume. And I mean, like, I was putting down legit restaurants. Like, I think Bitter Creek was one that I put down. I know, I feel like a horrible person, but you know, this isn't that bad. I put down legit restaurants and I put down my friends' names as references, but I got the job. And my first night on the job, the guy who was training me, I was trying to carry waters and he looks at me and he goes, you have no waitressing experience, do you? I'm like, shit. I said, no, I just, you know, it's been a long time since I've waitressed. I'm out of the habit. And he's like, if you mess up tonight, my job's on the line, so you cannot mess this up. And I was there for the whole summer. I actually got to waitress on, we had Michael Jordan's birthday party that summer, and then we had Joey Fatone, who is the nicest human. He's so nice. And at that time, he was a dad, or he is a dad still, but he had his like fisherman's hat on. I'm like, wow, you really changed since your NSYNC days. So fast forward, the reason behind this is because I wanted to go to Bali to get my Yoda certification. And while I was there, I remember sitting there and really trying to figure out who I am. And then this is where, again, we'll have more. I think this will be a podcast that we have, is really thinking about, like, when you think of your purpose, when you think of your why, like, what excites you in life? Like, what do you want to do? We have this one life and it is such a gift, but like, are we actually treating it that way? And during this time, I remember meditating on a hilltop, and gosh, it was in Bali, which is just luscious and it's green. And it's one of the most magical places I've been to. And in this meditation, you were supposed to be like envisioning this glow or like this ray of light. And I know this sounds like wooey, but I just had this feeling like I'm not supposed to go back to New York after this. Like, New York was great for what it was meant to be, but that's not where I'm supposed to be at. And so I told my family, I said, I'm going to continue to travel around Asia, and I'm going to meet up with my sister who was studying abroad in France at the time. But then I'm going to lease out my apartment in New York and I want to move home. And they're like, okay. Again, remember, I moved all my boxes, like my whole life, my fifth grade crush notes to New York. And after a couple of years, I'm like, you know what? This isn't for me. And so I think that's a good reminder that it's okay for us to change our minds, right? If you're like, this is not my path, you don't have to stay there. Like, you are never stuck. So I continue to travel. And again, I feel like there's so many stories here that I want to go into, but I'll save my experience there for another day, just so I can get through and tell you kind of how I got to where I am right now. Traveled there. In Bangkok, I met a couple guys from North Carolina who I traveled with around Thailand, and we went to Cambodia with, and we just became really close. And I tell you this because at one point, we were at Elvis's karaoke bar in Chiang Mai, which is, I love Chiang Mai. If you can go anywhere, Chiang Mai's heaven. It's magical. I would go there in a heartbeat again. And he turns to me, and we'd had a couple margaritas, and he goes, I think that your boyfriend's going to propose to you in Italy. I was like, what? And I told him that I was going to meet my sister in France. We were going to meet my boyfriend in Italy after that. And he's like, yeah, I think he's going to propose to you. And I said, no, because like originally I wasn't even supposed to come home. I was going to go right back to New York. And he lived in Boise at the time. And he said, here's the deal. If you get proposed to, we get invited to the wedding. I'm like, okay. And this is what I love. I did get proposed to in Italy. They did get invited to the wedding, and they did come to the wedding. Our wedding was in Sun Valley, Idaho. They came from North Carolina, and everyone to this day asks, they're like, what about those North Carolina boys? They're so fun. So Eric, David, if you're listening to this, everyone thinks you're so fun. So I moved back to Boise, and I felt very lost in my identity. I really struggled with trying to figure out who I was and what I wanted to do. And kind of long story short, I went through a lot of different jobs and trainings in the health industry. So did personal training at one of the gyms here. And then JP, who is the owner of Cycle Bar, at the time he was the owner of Axiom. And he said, he was getting ready to sell Axiom at the time. He had changed it from Golds to Axiom. He said, I'm getting ready to sell Axiom. I'm creating Cycle Bar, and I want you to be a cycle star. And in my head, I'm like, what the who is a cycle star? And what do I have to do? He's like, you'll teach cycle classes, and I just think you're going to be great for it. I love biking. I did not love cycle classes at the time, and now cycling is my life. I am the lead trainer over at Cycle Bar Village Meridian, where I coach classes. I also train and onboard our instructors and do continuing education for our current team. And Cycle Bar was where I really just felt reconnected to who I am. Our family, it's a family. That's what it is. It's community, it's family, it's a shared experience. And it allowed me to reconnect to my why and made me feel like I had a purpose and a gift in this world. And it's, you know, I've been there for almost 5 years now, and it's something that, like, I can't ever imagine not having in my life. It's what has allowed me to, I think, been the foundation of me creating Women's Community. It's allowed me to now go into being a health coach. And I'm so grateful for it. And so I think everything happens for a reason, right? It goes back to how timing is everything. And that's what leads us here to this moment. That's why this podcast is so important to me now. And it's a priority. It's something that I believe holds value in our community. So I'm glad that you're still here, and I'm glad that you found this. Like I said, the whole purpose of this podcast is to have candid conversations. So it won't always be me. You won't always have to just listen to me talking. But to normalize that this image of a perfect, flawless life is not practical. And I will tell you, I will always humbly show up. And I'll always humbly own up to the fact that I don't have this 100% figured out, because none of us do. We have days and seasons where the struggle is real, right? Hashtag millennial statement right there, right? But those are the days where, you know, sometimes, like, we do have days where we feel like we do, where everything just clicks and we feel equally in control of this ride. Like, we can just let go and have faith that we are going in the direction where we're supposed to be heading. That's why this is important. It's because we're creating a space with real stories and real conversations with you, and providing resources to help us create more days and seasons that are full of zest. That's what Your Zest Life is all about. So I want to close this off by saying thank you so much again for being here. Thank you for listening to this first episode in its entirety. I hope that you find future episodes to be what you need and to help provide zest for life. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your week. I am so excited for this journey together. I look forward to hearing from you. You know, what do you want to hear on this podcast? Who do you want to hear from? What are you going through? You know, how do you find your zest for life? Because I know I'm going to show up on days where, like I said, there's no flawless life. There's no life that's perfect, where we're always going to feel happy and full of zest. And so I'm going to learn from you as well. And I look forward to getting to share in this experience together. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nuttinghauer, and click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right, I can't wait to rally with you next week.